Maseches Para. Maseches Para comes from the opening of Parshas Chukas, and it is the second half of the discussion of Maseches Alos. Those two Masechtas both come from the opening of Chukas. As we opened last week, the Inyanei Taharas break along the discussion of the study of Avos HaTumah, the study of Mekablei Tumah, and the study of the Tahara process. As we mentioned last week, every Avos HaTumah has its own unique dinim, unique quirks, but Tumas Meis has loads of unique dinim, both in terms of the rules of the Tumah and how it's transmitted, which are the focus of 18 Prakim Maseches Alos, as well as the rules of how the Tumah is taken away. And most of the halachas of how Tumah is taken away in general will appear later in the Seder, particularly in Maseches Mikvaos and Maseches Tvul Yom. So the typical way that most Tumos that can be removed are removed, tends to center around going to mikvah, sometimes bringing a carbon afterwards, and sort of the stages of tahara that ensue once one goes to the mikvah, once a person or a kli goes to mikvah. But if a person or a kli was a tamei mace, then the Torah prescribes a very unique process. It's much more than merely going to mikvah. And remember that the tamei mace, as we discussed, is one who became tamei from a mace. That could either be a person who was in contact with the mace, and thereby that person became an avatuma, or a kli that person subsequently touched, also an avatuma based on a chayav erev chalal, or it could be a kli that came in direct contact with a mace, and thereby the kli itself became an avatuma, and will pass on the tuma to adam or kelim, that they will become avos hatuma. So all these avos hatuma, or kli becomes avi avos hatuma, can typically become tahar. Any kli except for kli cheres can become tahar. A person can become tahar. But if you're avia tumah or avia vos tumah from tumas meis, if you are a tumei meis, then going to mikvah is insufficient. You need to have what the Torah prescribes in the beginning of Parshas Chukas as the use of the para aduma. Para aduma is a fascinating, very unique type of item, and with multiple unique procedures, as the psukim describe somewhat, and the mishnayos expand upon much more over the course of the 12 prakim of Maseches Para. The first major stage of the procedure is getting from para aduma to efer para aduma, from a live para aduma, a red cow. We'll get back to a little bit more of that. What constitutes a red cow in a moment. But the first step in the procedure is the shechita and the burning of the red cow, turning the para aduma into efer para aduma. The second step in the process is what the Mishnayos refer to, particularly around the fifth parak of the Masechta, as a kiddush mechatas. That's where thank you, Yeshua. This is a different type of Kiddush. At this point in time, I'm glad to you have not been to Kiddush in a couple of weeks. This is an even holier type of Kiddush. Kiddush Mechatas means where you take, as the line that sticks in our ears from the laning, Mayim Chaim El Keli. You put, you combine in a Kli, Mayim Chaim, despite Shua's Kiddush experiences, Mayim Chaim doesn't actually mean a Chsiyush, a brand of soda. Mayim Chaim means spring water, as opposed to, you know, when you go to mikvah, we'll get to mikvahs more. You understand the tovel in spring water, but for producing paraduma water, you require specifically spring water. Rainwater is unacceptable. You have to have Mayim Chaim and a kli together with a little bit of that efer paraduma. So that's the second stage in the process. Again, the first stage is going from the para aduma to the efer para aduma. The second stage is the combination of the efer, a little bit of the efer para aduma together with mayim chayim, combine them in a kli, and that's called the kiddush. You're being makadish that water. You're giving it the status of mei para aduma, or as we often refer to it, mei chatas. Para aduma is not a carbon chatas, but the Torah does describe it in Parshas Chukas as a chatas, call that some of the mechatas, kiddush mechatas. And the third step is using the mechatas. Is what we call the hazah, hey, zayin, aleph, hey, the sprinkling of that mechatas onto people or kelim who were formerly tame. So there's the three stages. The sreifas hapara, the kiddush mechatas, and the hazahs mechatas. And the Mishnayos take us through each stage. A lot of the most of the process appears in the third parak, the 12th parak Maaseches Parah. The third parak is a parak that's in like a story style, a narrative style. That's a style that appears certain Masechtas. You'll come across that in different Siddurim. If you've learned Mishnayos Yuma, if you've learned Mishnayos Bikurim. And there are a number of Masechtas where you have Mishnayos get into sort of like a more of a story mode. And then the Kohen did this and the Kohen did that. Often about things that happened in Beis HaMikdash. So you have it in Bikurim and you have it in Yuma. You have a little bit of a Negam actually. And you have a full parak in Maseches Parah, the third parak. It actually begins Shivas Yamin. Sounds a lot like Shivas Yamin Mafrishin. Sounds like the opening of Maseches Yuma. They talk about Mafshir Kohen Gadol for 7 days before Yom Kippur. Very, very Yom Kippur. It says Mafshir Kohen Gadol for 7 days. Then the whole procedure, taking you through. Again, you've heard the first focus, as we said, is the Sreifas Parah Aduma. You shecht the Parah Aduma. And the other ingredients that you, once it's nishchat, the other ingredients that you burn together with the pardum to produce the efer, and then on to then as we said, the other two stages in the process are the kiddush mechatas by adding together some mechatas and a little bit of the efer, and finally the hazaa. Now, something important to understand here, as the Mishnayos tell us, The first stage in the process was historic and rare. The Sreifas Paraduma, Mishnayos tells, has happened 9 times so far in Jewish history. There have not been that many Paras Adumos. Now, how is that possible? You need Hazas Paraduma, something has to happen all the time. And every time Jews are coming for Alil or Regel, every Jew needs to be tar in order to enter Beis HaMikdash. We haven't spoken that much about the nafkamina and whether you're tahar or tameh. But one of them is the permission to enter Beis HaMikdash. Another one is permission to eat karbanos. So three times a year, the Jewish population, certainly the male Jewish population, and much of the female Jewish population, are headed to Beis HaMikdash. And there's a mass, anyone who became tameh, remember, as we learned in Olas, whether you actually came in contact with a mace or came in contact with chevrei kachalal, There's going to be a need for Hazas Paraduma. And by the way, you do it twice, per person or per kli, because the psukim tell us, and the Chazal pick up on this, that you need what we call Hazas Shlishi Ushvi. When you do Hazas, it's on the third day and the seventh day. In other words, if I became Tameh, I start counting 7 days. On day three, I could start counting more, but it has to be the first time your mazah is at least 2 days after you became tameh, so day three, and then 4 days later on day seven. And before each hazah, you have to be sprinkled with paraduma water both on day three and day seven. You have to go to mikveh before each hazah, and then once you have these two sets of hazahs, that allows you to go to mikveh a third time and become tahar. So there was the hazah shlishi yushvi, hazahs mei paraduma happened very, very frequently. But Sreifas Paraduma happened very, very rarely. Now you're doing, could be millions of hazos per year, but there are only 9 paros adumos in all of Jewish history. And the Mishnah says that the Limos HaMashiach will have the 10th. So the first stage in the process is incredibly rare. And the third stage in the process is incredibly common. And the answer is that a single Sreifas Paraduma produces an enormous amount of ashes. And at that second stage, the Kiddush Mechatas, when you create May Paraduma, you can have, the Mishnayos tells you, you can have a tiny speck of ash added to an enormous vat of water, and it all becomes May Paraduma. There's no concept of bittul here. It's not about Nesinas Tam. So this is a purely, this is not a physical process like Blia Nisinas Tam, like we were working on in Kalabasar and Geranasha. So this is an entirely metaphysical, spiritual process, like the rest of Tuma Vatara. So the tiniest speck of Efer Paraduma could be Makadesh enormous without of water. So you can make a single Paraduma last for a century if it's well managed. That's a key piece here. These are three steps in the process. The Sreifas HaPara, the Kiddush Mechatas, and the Hazab, they don't all happen together. And they don't all happen, they happen in sequence, but they could be separated. I could be Mazayu now with water, with Afer that was produced 150 years ago, assuming that it was preserved and kept Tahar properly. So in terms of the first leg of the process, the Sreifas HaPara, so the opening prakim speak, as I was saying before, speak about what it takes for what the requirements are. Number one, what makes a kosher para aduma, and then how the Sreifa is done. And one of the themes that comes up in this first leg, the first process, the Sreifas HaPara, where the focus is on, obviously, the para aduma itself, is that as I mentioned before, the psukim refer to paradum as a chatas. That's something the Mishnais touch on, and Talmud Bavli touched on different mesechtos, that the paradum sort of inhabits an interesting quasi-carbon place. Not exactly a carbon, but it's a little bit like a carbon. It's like a funny bina shmashas type of situation. Sort of one leg in, one leg out. And that comes up in a couple of ways. Number one, in terms of the kashrus of the para, what constitutes a kosher paraduma, which is the primary focus of the second and also the first parak of Maseches Para. So one of the rules that the Tanam debate is, should I say that a paraduma cannot have a mum? In Kachem, a carbon can't have a mum. That was a dinam that we had a couple weeks ago in the Sedra, in Parshas Emor. That a carbon which is a balmum is not kosher. So the question is, to what extent do we apply that to paraduma too? Should we say, look, paraduma also has to be free of mumen. So that's one aspect of the chatas kari rachmona, as Gemara puts it. The Torah refers to it as a chatas, even though it's not really carbon chatas, but as some dinam of carbon. In terms of the rules of para aduma. So again, one major issue that comes up in the second parak is perhaps mumen. Then there are two major issues that are unique to paraduma. One is the Torah tells us it's nifsal b'milacha. Lo ubarba, lo ola aleha, excuse me, lo ola aleha ol. Torah says it has to have been a para that wasn't used for work. So the Mishnais are quite machmir in terms of if it carried things in any way, it's going to be nifsal from being a paraduma. And obviously, the other major unique din is that it needs to be aduma. Actually, the third thing also. So one is it's nifsal b'malacha. Another one is it needs to be aduma. That's another topic in the second parak of para. It has to be red. What does it mean, red? Cannot have seir shachar. Cannot have black hair. So how many hairs does it take to say that it has black hair? I would have thought seir is a hair. A seir shachar means a black hair. It's like with negam last week. I would have thought that, you know, seir lavan means a white hair. Yet both in negam and in para, Mishnayos tell us you need, that means two hairs, two black hairs. Two white hairs are a simen tuma, shtei saros, and you need two black hairs, shtei saros, to be pasul apart. If it's a single black hair, it's kasher. So I thought, how come? But we said seir, so seir sounds like one. So the answer is that the difference between seir and sa'ara, the difference between hair and a hair. In English, it's the same word, but hair is stuff, is a mass noun. Hairs, I say a hair, that's one hair, as opposed to hair is like the stuff. It's like people versus persons. Not exactly. In English, we're not so medactic on that. But that's why the sayar is hair, the stuff. Sa'ara, with a hay at the end, that's a hair. So shtei saros is seyar. For those who are inclined to linguistics, is a very similar phenomenon, more common in Arabic. Tufah, tapuach is an apple in Hebrew. So tufah is tufaha, or tufahatun is an apple. That would be like the equivalent of tapucha, is an apple. But tufah, which is like tapuach, is apple stuff. It could be any, a massive apple is a tapuach. But tapucha in Arabic is an apple. So seyar is hair, but the miut of seyar is shtei saros. Because I want to say a single hair, I would have said sara. If I say seyar, that means hair, a massive hair, it's at least two. Okay. So again, the paraduma to be kosher, in addition to whatever we may import from the halachas of karbanos, it has to be nifsal b'malacha, needs to be red, has to be a paraduma, and it has to be a para. What constitutes being a para? So that's the opening parak of Masechta that talks about the dinim of age. This actually brings us back to the first parak of Chulin. The Tosis and Dafir Aleph, Amud Aleph, and Masechas Chulin, that pointed out there's a minimum age for a paraduma. Para is not an egla. Para, that's the opening Mishnah, is that para means a certain age. This machlokas tanaim, exactly how old is a para aduma, but well over a year old. Otherwise it would be called a calf, it would be called an adult cow. And as you remember, Tosis got into the discussion of makoros for roe versus makoros for chazaka, and the issue of chazaka shnoros bara b'shaita. That all comes from the opening Mishnah in para, which speaks of, again, ages. The minimum age of a para. So again, to be a para aduma, you have to be a para, adult, you have to be aduma, red, you nifsal ben malacha, and then we may also import certain dinim from karbanos. Then we mentioned that the second stage of the process that we already spoke about, that there's the blending of the mixing of the mayim chaim of spring water together with a little bit of the afer in a kli. The Mishnais do tell us, I believe it's in the fifth parak, that the kli doesn't have, even though in Maseches Kelim we learned that there are certain materials that are not makabel tuma, they're still kelim. So even though glass is not makabel tuma min haTorah, and stone or gilolim or adobe clay adam are not makabel tuma at all, but they are kelim and they're kosher. Therefore, for paraduma, as a matter of fact, they're great for using paraduma because they won't become tame. more on that in a moment on it, making sure it doesn't become tame. But let's just round out the third stage we also spoke about is the hazaah, and that's the spring. There are more dinim of exactly how you do the hazaah. The Mishnayos tell us, especially in Perek Yud Aleph, that the Pesukim say you have to do the hazaah with azov, with the hyssop grass. Azov is one of the ingredients that you burn together with the para initially. But you also use it for sprinkling on the Adam Tameh. As we said, you do Hazah Shlishi Ushvi with a Tevila before each and a Tevila thereafter, three Tevilos all together. there's plenty more to say, but let me just touch on plenty more to say also about the idea of the fact that it's sort of a carbon, it's sort of not a carbon. It requires actually shechita b'kohen, but it's nishchat outside the Beis HaMikdash. There are many unique dinim in terms of the way in which it is and isn't a carbon. You actually shecht it on the Har HaZesim, facing the doorway of the Beis HaMikdash. When you're coming down the steps, if you come down from the Jewish quarter to the Har HaBayis, towards the Har HaBayis, towards the Kotel. So you would, as you're coming down those steps, you look beyond the Har HaBayis to Har HaZesim, that you're facing where the Kohen would be. The Kohen would be over there in the Har HaZesim, where Rachman Litzlan, the Nachrim, have built a hotel desecrating the Kvaris on Har HaZesim. The Kohen would be there facing directly into the Makom HaMikdash, but not in the HaMikdash itself, sort of quasi. That's part of the... It's sort of a carbon, but it's not a carbon. Two other points that are worth mentioning briefly. One is that there is a unique interplay of Tumah and Tara. One of the paradoxical dinim is that the Mishnayos talk about is while the Para Aduma is a way of removing the most severe Tumah, in a certain sense, Tumas Mesa is the most severe, Aviyavos HaTumah, and the fact that you need Parah Adumah in order to remove it. At the same time, that's such a powerful mitaher, it's also ironically a mitameh. People who are involved in certain steps of processing and producing the Parah Adumah and the ashes are actually become tameh. So that's an odd paradox. It's one of the mysteries of Parah Adumah. The other thing you should know about in closing is that one of the themes that runs through Maseches Parah is another paradox, which is that we are very machmir on keeping the Parah Adumah, the ashes, tahar. Very machmir keeping those ashes tahar. They actually are, perhaps the only midrabanan, even more susceptible to tumah than a carbon is. Parah Adumah could in principle become even a chamish l'tumah, carbon could only become a revi l'tumah, and there are all sorts of, particularly in that paragimel, it tells the story of Parah Adumah. See, there were so many chumras that Chazal introduced. They had a whole community where they would raise the children in a place of total tahara without any suffic tumah, and they would be the ones who would be bringing the, doing certain stages of processing of the Parah Adumah to make sure there's absolute incredible chumras in terms of tahara, and that's because there was a unique type of kula that we had to take. Shlahotzi miliban shel hatzadukim. There was a certain that they would daf the tzadukim had misinterpreted psukim and chumash, and they thought that if you have a, well, we'll get to Masechet Tfil Yom and learn about this more. You're a Tfil Yom, you couldn't be involved with a Parah Adumah. So Chazal lahotzi miliban to make it clear that we don't accept the tzedukim, they would dafka make the fellow a Parah Adumah. The war there would lead to a zilzal in Tahara's Parah Adumah. So to counterbalance that, they introduce all sorts of exaggerated chumras midrabanan to sort of create this balance. That's a very picturesque chumras that the Mishnah is described in the third parak of Parah to maintain the proper balance of seriousness about gravitas, about the rules of Parah Adumah.